Hello once again. I'm Pastor Bronk Flint of the Family Prayer Center in Immokalee, and thank you very much for watching this particular lesson. What you're watching right now are a series of lessons called the Discipleship Training Manual, or manuals, and you'll find it on the face page of our website, right there as you tune into our website. This is lesson 9 today that we're doing, and it's called Private Worship, Intimacy with God. We're going to talk to you for the next few moments about the importance of private worship, what it is, and how you can implement it in your life. Let me take just a few moments to review the last lesson, which was lesson 8, and the title of that was Changing Your World. Now, in lesson 8, and talking about changing your world, what we went into was talking about that once you were born again, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, all things were changed, and behold, all things become new. But we have done our best throughout these lessons to explain to you that the newness was not anything on the outside. It was everything on the inside. So your address didn't change. Your physical looks didn't change. A lot of different things. And along with that, sometimes the carryover of things like sickness, disease, just abnormal things that are not the plan of God will try to become a part of that transition, or try to stay on in that transition. In truth, by the Word of God, when you were born again, it was a package deal, and from the very beginning, you could claim and stand on the Word of God that you were completely changed, not only on the inside, but things on the outside, like physical health, financial things begin to change. But what we find often is that the core we know changes, which is the new you, the born-again spirit or the born-again man or woman, but there's a carryover oftentimes. Well, we explained in the last lesson that you could change your world, in other words, change the life around you systematically by taking God's Word and speaking God's Word out loud, privately. And we call that confessions and confession, word confessions. And so word confessions, and we talked to you about how that works. We went to different scriptures and talked about how that power actually works. When you release it, you're releasing God's Word to go to work for you in all the different areas of your life. And it really will change your world or change your life. And it'll cause your life that you live on the outside to reflect the life and power of the new nature on the inside. So we talked about changing your world through the confession of God's Word. And we provided in that three different areas of concern. We have a PDF, of course, that we're going to post with that. And those confessions are there for you. They were emotional, health and healing, and financial. So we gave you three different areas in which we tried to teach you and say, look, if you will take these confessions, which are based on the Word of God, in regards to your emotions, and in regards to your health or healing of your body, and in regards to your financial world that you live in, your life, that you can actually change the world that you live in, or change your life by speaking these confessions out loud systematically, even on a daily basis. And so there's hope. There's actually hope. So you're born again. Let's say, for instance, you're born again, but you still have some real physical challenges. Or you're born again and you still have some financial challenges. Well, the end is not now. The end is you can change your future. You can speak life into your future by speaking the Word of God. And we talked about that extensively last time. Now, today we're going to talk about private worship, which produces intimacy with God. Let me say that again, and let me say it real slow because I want you to catch it. We're going to talk about private worship, which will produce an intimacy with God. We know what intimacy means. We know what intimacy means in marriage. We know what intimacy means in a close friendship relationship with someone in this world, or a family member, or a friend. In other words, they share your heart, and you share their heart, and you get to know each other in a very personal and communal way in which you get to know that person in your life. But today's subject is private worship, and private worship producing intimacy with God, that closeness. That word intimacy means a closeness, a depth of closeness. What do we mean when we say, or when I say, or give the term private worship? What does private worship mean? What is private worship? Well, the best way to explain what private worship is to first explain what corporate worship is. Corporate worship is coming to church. Corporate worship is getting together with other people. And corporately, you are worshiping God, singing songs of worship, or speaking words of worship or adoration. That's corporate worship, and that's very important. And the Word of God teaches us to come to church. And we've really already had lessons on that, how vital it is for your spiritual growth to come to church, whether that is through an actual physical location or whether that is through watching us online and becoming a part of a worship center that is really following God and going forward. So we've talked about that, but that's corporate worship. Now, private worship is when you worship God privately in song or words of adoration without anyone else being present. It is your private place with God, your devotional time with God, in which during that time you devote a measure of that time to actually speaking words of adoration and words of love and affection towards God. Now, we're going to talk about why that's important and exactly how you do that in just a few moments. Private worship is a powerful tool to be used in your devotional time with God each and every day. Now, we've talked about in these lessons the power and the just absolute gift that God gave us through praying in tongues, which is a avenue, it's a vehicle to really get to know God. This is another one. It's really wonderful because when you study God's Word and you get to know God, you find out that after salvation, God has provided multiple vehicles for you to get to know God. First, you're born again and you receive the nature and the fullness of Christ in you. You change, you completely change. After that, we've explained that there is a second work of the Holy Spirit, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And with that, he comes with a gift, the gift of praying in tongues. And we've explained to you how to receive that gift and encourage you to walk in that on a daily basis, to use it on a daily basis. Now, here's another avenue. Here's something else that you can add to your devotional time. Some of you may be thinking, well, all these different things, how do I space them out? God will show you. You can take, just for instance, you can take 10 minutes to do one of these and 10 minutes to do another, 10 minutes to do another. But let's talk about private worship. When you worship God privately in song or words of adoration without anyone else being present, as I said, private worship is something that you do privately. I want to continue to reiterate that. Away from church, it's you yourself, and you schedule that. You're the one that schedules that. Private worship is so important. Why? Well, Psalms 95, verse 2 in the Amplified says this: let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with song and praise. I think the King James says, let us enter his presence with thanksgiving. In other words, God's desire for your life and my life in prayer is that when we come to him, our approach should be with a thankful and worshipful, praise-filled heart. Our introduction to him is on a basis that we come with adoration, and that pleases him. And it adds an entrance. It adds an availability. He's your Father. He's always available. But if you're going to have a daily devotional or a prayer time, it's vital that you understand that the entrance into that place should always be prefaced with a thankful and a worshipful heart. Psalms 22:3 says this, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel." Now what this psalm tells us is this, that God inhabits praises, or we could say it like this, worship. In other words, when you begin to worship God, there's a habitation of His presence. How can I say it another way? God comes with His presence when you begin to worship Him. Well, I thought He's always with me. He is. He's always with you. But there's a difference between knowing God's with you and actually feeling God with you. And God wants you to experience Him. He really wants you to experience His presence. So in that worship, there's a habitation which gives you an availability to experience God. And that's very, very important. Why is that important? God literally inhabits the atmosphere of worship and praise. The book of Psalms, which we mentioned in a couple of verses, is one of the largest books in the Bible. And I'd encourage you at times to read the book of Psalms. There's 150 chapters. And those are psalms, which are songs, and they are words of adoration. They're songs of adoration to the Lord, and they were written by David, and they teach you how to worship and praise the Lord. So it gives you a good kind of format to understand how to worship the Lord. Jesus reveals the heart of the Father in John chapter 4. Now, John chapter 4, verse 23, and I'm going to just quickly tell you the setting of this. Jesus is speaking to a woman that is part of the city of Samaria, Sychar, a city in Samaria, and he's having a conversation with this woman at the well, and he's explaining to her really who God is and the disposition of God towards mankind. And there's a lot to be said in that chapter, but I just want to read these two verses for you. Jesus says this to this lady, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." So what does this tell us? God is a spirit, and it says that the Father desires and seeks for worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? It means God is seeking for worshipers. He loves worship. Why does God love worship? Because in worship, He gets to fellowship. So you've got to have a picture in your imagination. This should be your imagination. God is actively seeking for you to seek Him. He is actively on a daily basis anticipating that you would come and worship Him. And in that exchange, when you begin to worship God, God gets to lavish on you how much He loves you, how important you are to Him, and what good things He has for you. I'll remind you of this. Remember that your appetites have changed. They have absolutely changed. There's an appetite inside of you now that desires fellowship and intimacy with God. Before you were born again, you may have respected God, but there wasn't the same type of appetite, drive inside of you. But if you're truly born again, now there's something inside of you that says, I want to get to know God. Well, here's the great thing. There's a number of different ways to do that. We've talked about praying in tongues. We've talked about the Word of God. When you read the Word of God, you're actually hearing God's voice and God is speaking to you. And so you're getting to know him in that way. But private worship is a presence. It's a presence avenue. It's a presence gift. It brings the presence of God. And you actually begin to tangibly experience God. You can feel his presence. Well, why is that important? Why is it important to feel God's presence? Well, Paul the Apostle gives us a lesson on worship, and that is in Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm just going to read that for you. It starts in verse 15, and Paul's teaching the church at Ephesus how important it is for us to come as Christians to a place where we give ourselves over to worship on a continual basis, corporately, but now we're speaking privately, because you can't come to church every day. You can't be in a service every day, but you can certainly create your own service wherever you're at. Now, Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, redeeming the time means to make best of your time. Make sure you're spending your time wisely on a daily basis. And he says this, wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Wow, what's he saying here? The Amplified, I wish I had it in front of me. It'd probably even spell it out a little bit more in our vernacular. But Paul is saying this, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He was talking to the Ephesians, which really were probably good wine drinkers in their past life, and partiers and people that enjoyed the nightlife. And so Paul could easily, they could easily relate to Paul's words. And maybe some of you that are watching this lesson can relate and say, well, that might have been me in my past life, or that was me in my past life. So Paul is saying, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess or debauchery. In other words, drunkenness will lead to other things that will destroy your life. But he gives us an incredible alternative to a drunkenness of this world is to be drunk, or to be, let's say it this way, intoxicated in the Spirit. Why is that important? Why is it important to find a place of God's presence where actually we become, I'm not talking about loopy, where you just don't know what you're doing, but I'm talking about where there's a sense of, the world would call it an inebriation or an intoxication, where that your senses are, they become dulled or kind of away from the things of this world and very acute or very alert to the truths of God's life and love for you. Paul said this, again, I'll read it. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now he tells us how to do this. This is incredible. He not only tells us that's what we should do on a continual basis, but then he tells us how to do it. Speaking to yourselves, that's not me speaking to you if you're not in the room, but speaking to myself in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, this whole message in this particular chapter is this. You're either going to live in a world where the things of this life affect you mentally, emotionally, in the different areas of your life, or else you're going to, again, I'll use the term inebriate, drunken yourself against those things, and come to a place where, you know, God's presence can so fill your life that it takes care of a number of different things. Private worship brings an intimacy with God that fulfills the individual in every area of their life. Private worship will help provide an inoculation against fears and phobias. It'll bring an inoculation against depression, anxieties, loneliness. Some of you are lonely. Some of you, you know, maybe have lost a partner, become divorced, or maybe you've never been married, or you fight loneliness from time to time. Even though you know you're a Christian and you love God and maybe you read His Word, and still there seems to be a vacancy or a void on the inside, this is one of the greatest avenues possible for you as a born-again believer, and especially you that want to change your world. You've just started and you say, this is great, but you know, Pastor, sure wish I had a counseling session with you. I'd love to tell you that there's something on the inside of me at times that just feels so empty. Here's how to fill that space. Be not drunk with wine of this world. Why does he say that? Because if a man becomes drunk, usually they become carefree. That's why people drink oftentimes. That's why they party, because they not only want to fill the high, but they also can, for those hours, forget their troubles, forget their worries, lay things aside, and just live in a kind of a make-believe world. And they don't even think about hard times until the next morning they wake up. But here's something Paul said that doesn't have excess. In other words, it doesn't have debauchery. It won't hurt you. There's no hangovers. There's nothing that you did wrong that you have to repent for. But the effect in the spirit is the same as it is in the natural, but greater, much greater, is because now you're looking at the same circumstances as you were the day before, and that was fear and worry and anxiety. Now you're looking at them and you're thinking, boy, I've spent time in the presence of God, and I don't know why, but that doesn't worry me anymore. I don't feel fearful about that. Hey, you know what? I haven't talked to anybody or had anybody to talk to in days, but I don't feel lonely. I feel like, man, I just feel like my house is full of God, and I'm full of God, and Jesus is my best friend, and the Holy Spirit's my right here with me all the time, and Father God, you're right there, and you never leave me. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. So the list is endless. It really is. It just fills you up, and it makes you so full that there's no way to express how complete you will become by developing a private worship life. How do I do this? How do you do it? How do you privately worship? Well, simple words of adoration. It's kind of like somebody would say, it's freelance. It's you. You don't have to have a manager, a teacher to say, this is how you do it. But it's words of intimacy. Well, what are words of intimacy? Words of adoration. What are words of adoration? I love you. I appreciate you. I adore you. I want more of you. I love you. Repeating those things repetitiously with a heart full of meaning will become something that is not laborious, nor something that is filled only with a sense of blatancy or repetition, but it will eventually become a place of flow. There will be a flow that will come out of your spirit to God. And again, I will tell you, there's no legalism like, Pastor, can you tell me exact words to say? No, not really. I can start you out by saying the best word, the greatest word of intimacy is I love you, or the greatest phrase is I love you. And you can say that slowly, repetitively, but meaningfully to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? The Holy Spirit will be right there in your prayer closet to help you to repeat those words. As you do, understand that He loves you, and His presence will begin to saturate the atmosphere. Eventually, there may be times where you'll feel a dryness. We're not going to go into all that in this lesson, but understand this: you will inevitably always come to a place of getting to know God much more thoroughly and in greater depth by spending time in private worship. This avenue to God, God's presence, should definitely become a part of your daily devotion. Amen. God bless you, and we appreciate you watching this lesson, and I hope this helps, and I hope it gives you some food for thought and some scripture to go on in your growth. And God bless you. We'll see you soon. Amen.